Hello, and welcome to episode 137 of Craft, Cook, Read, Repeat, a conversation about crafting food and books. I'm Monica.
And I'm Courtney.
Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. A big thank you to all of our listeners, both old and new. We hope this podcast will continue to be something you put on repeat. How's it going, Courtney?
Pretty good. How are you?
I have been busy. You have yarn crawling.
Such an exciting week. Oh my gosh.
It was pretty fun. We will get into all of the details in all of our segments, which we're going to do our traditional spring fling and reverse everything. So we will have on the nightstand, on the table, on the easel, and then on the needles.
We're saving up all the yarny business for the end.
Yeah, although we are not in our yarn fort. Wow. Just everything is yarn today. We're not in our pillow fort. But we are here. I had adventures and it was pretty fun.
I'm kind of sad that I missed all of the yarny business. We have some family stuff happening and that has curtailed all of my activities. But I am here to hear all about it.
I know. We haven't had a chance to chat about it yet. And we did miss you very much. There was a moment when we were trying to pick out colors. And we were like, we miss Courtney. She has a great color sense. And she could tell us which yarn goes together with the other yarn. I mean, for other reasons, we were sad that you weren't there. But that was a particular moment. We were like,
I cannot wait for the full show and tell.
Ah, good stuff. So much stuff. All right, on the nightstand, I have 4 books this time because I was off shopping, I guess. Not quite so many. W is for Wasted by Sue Grafton. I am back on the Kinsey train. Listen to this one. Kinsey gets a phone call from the coroner's office. A man has been found dead on the beach in his sleeping bag where he has been living. All his belongings have been stolen, but Kinsey's business card is in his pocket. So can she come down and see if maybe he's a former client, if she can identify him? She doesn't recognize him, but she agrees to look into it, see if she can figure out who he is. Away we go from there. I like this one better than I liked the last one. She felt a little bit more focused on Kinsey and her story. Although, to be fair, Kinsey doesn't realize she's in a mystery until about 3/4 of the way through the book. And we know there's a mystery going on, but it's, again, happening sideways to where her story is going on. There's all this other stuff that she is dealing with, which is very interesting. So it was still a little bit weird, but it was more Kinsey focused, so I liked it. Although, again, like one story, put it all together, lady. Anyway, so I'm what do we have? X. Oh, I have 2 left. X and Y.
That's
it. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Whew. I'm excited because when she finishes, I'm going to do a portrait.
Oh.
Of Sue Grafton.
All right.
Which I've been wanting to do since she started the series.
So then, Wild and Distant Seas by Tara Carr Roberts. It does not officially have a subtitle, but I have added one. Come for the Melville, stay for the magic. So we start off in 1849 on Nantucket Island. Evangeline Hussey is the wife of the innkeeper, and she makes amazing chowder. And one day into the inn walks a young sailor who says, call me Ishmael. Moby Dick is a very big thing in my house. So obviously I had to read this book. From that introduction, we get 4 generations of women all across the Western Hemisphere, their own white whale searches, and dealing with parental relationships and loss and love and all sorts of things. It was a fantastic story just with that. But the women also have magic powers that added a little something extra to the story. Evangeline can read people's thoughts, do a little bit of mind control if she really works at it. And her descendants have variations on that. So it was interesting. And it started off like very heavy with the Melville and then kind of got away from it, came back. It's always a thread that's weaving through it. But you absolutely do not have to have read the book to get a ton of stuff out of it. It just is a little bonus, I think. So I really liked that one. It was interesting.
Fun.
And then Mislaid in Parts Half Known by Seanan McGuire. This is the latest in her Wayward Children's series. This might be number 7 or 9. The series about children that have gone through magic doors and what happens when they come back. And every other book is the story of them together. There's a woman who has set up a school for them to help them readjust to this world, or while they are either planning to go back to their families or waiting for their doors to reopen and take them back to the world that is best for them. And they have adventures. And then alternate books are an individual child when they go through their door. So you get all these different worlds. And Seanan has quite an imagination. So very creative. So this was an adventure book. They do end up going to see some dinosaurs, which was kind of fun. But there's a girl that has just recently come to the school and she can find lost things. And so kids are like, oh, you can find our lost doors. And she doesn't quite work that way. But they end up having nice adventures. I'm not sure if these are classified as young adult because they're written pretty simply. They're pretty short. They're definitely dealing with teenagers. But at the same time, very, not grown up themes, but, you know, themes that kids are dealing with. So I really like them. And they come out once a year, so I'm looking forward. Well, so now I have to wait till next year to see what happens, but this was a good one as well. And then finally, Anita De Monte Laughs Last by Xochitl Gonzalez. This was super fun. So it is kind of a ghost story and a mystery and academia and art and all sorts of good things.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? Anita De Monte is an artist from, well, originally from Cuba, grew up in the U.S., and she comes to New York to make it big as an artist in the 70s and 80s, meets up with a famous male artist, gets in a relationship with him, he ends up killing her, and she turns into a ghost and continues in the story. And then we also alternate between her and a college student at Brown who ends up researching her and having her own relationship struggles. And so there's kind of a mirroring going on there. So that's where you get kind of the mystery, because Anita has been just completely forgotten, and trying to fix that is our college student. So it was really good. This is Xochitl's second book. I really want to go back and read the first one and see what how that one was, because I really enjoyed this one.
It yeah. sounds great.
It was really fun. And then, yeah, I mean, the art world and parties and exhibitions. And so lots of fun stuff going on with that one.
Good recommendation. Yeah. I have one for you. It's called Book Lovers by Emily Henry.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one of my favorite bookish knitter people, the woman who did the, when she knit her first sweater, and I sent you her little video about it. Well, she compared all of Emily Henry's male protagonists in terms of which one she would date. And she declared the guy in Book Lovers to be her favorite.
Interesting.
And so I had added it to my list. I'm really in the middle of 3 very heavy novels that I had to set aside this week for the family stuff. And so Book Lovers was a great, fast, funny distraction. So this is a story about, I'm sure most people have read this. I'm really late to the party on this one. This is a story about Nora and her sister Libby. They have grown up with a single mom in New York City, and they really love Manhattan. Or at least Nora thinks they really love Manhattan. And they take an adventure to North Carolina, where to this little town where one of their favorite books was set. And they're exploring the town for a couple of weeks, and they have this whole checklist, and it is definitely like a more complex romance. One of my favorite things about this book, aside from it being a really lighthearted escape from what's going on, is there's this whole scene where one of the gentlemen that she's seeing in the book is describing bouldering to her, and she, a Manhattanite who wears kitten heels everywhere, is perplexed. She's like, well, what do you, you climb to the top of the rock and then what? And he was like, well, then you climb to the top of another rock. The dialogue between the two is so great. You know, it must have been overheard like on a train or something. I just thought it was brilliant dialogue. Very funny. I laughed out loud, which was not great because I was in bed and everybody was asleep and the house was quiet. And I just thought it was a really fun read. And I don't know why I held back on her novels for so long, but I'm really glad that I found them.
Yeah, she actually has a new one coming out this month. I just put a hold on it at the library. Yeah.
Well, excuse me while I do the same.
I know. Yeah, she's a really fun. I've only been reading her for the past couple of years, and I think she has a large back catalog. So plenty more to dive into. Yeah, and they're nice. They are nice.
They're funny. They're real. The dialogue feels very realistic to me. The writing is good, and they're kind of feel-good novels.
Yeah, I would say they're romance, but not what you typically think of as a romance. Leaning towards the chick lit kind of thing, but
well,
I definitely enjoy them.
We have 243 copies in our library, and I am number 173 on the hold list. Maybe, well, by fall. Are they out yet?
Are they still processing, or do they have it?
It seems like they have it.
Oh, great. They usually get through it pretty quickly.
Yes.
We'll see. Maybe we'll have another dual read, because I just put mine on hold too, so stay tuned for that. All right, on the table. So regular food. Yeah, I kind of hit a rut myself. It was just everything was repeats. I think track season is in full swing, so we have lots of, and then just other things are happening, so it's like stuff that I can do quickly. I don't want to have to think about it. And then if I have a week or night when I don't have anything, I also just don't want to stress about it. So I did the pizza beans, I did the broccoli and various proteins with peanut pesto from Smitten Kitchen Keepers, I think. I made banana butterscotch pie for Pie Day, which I thought was my traditional, but I was looking at my notes from past years, and apparently I've been making lemon things, and I have not made the banana butterscotch pie during the past 4 years, so I'm not sure why I think it's traditional, but anyway, it's still delicious. Corned beef for St. Patrick's Day.
That's fun.
I will say I did do the salt and vinegar cabbage instead of just like plain boiled cabbage or anything. That is also a Smitten Kitchen recipe, and that I really liked because it added a little more tang and contrast to the corned beef and the, you know, roasted potatoes and carrots. So that was good. Better than that, yeah. It's not been terribly exciting around here. I did make a baked lemon pudding from the New York Times, and I'm pretty sure it is not behind a paywall because, I don't know, they threw it at me through Facebook. So every once in a while, social media is a good thing. So it reminded me of, it's a little bit souffle-like.
Okay.
But it reminds me of, well, those pudding cakes where like you do the magic thing and you end up with pudding on the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like that, except lemon. The top, the cake part is very light. I mean, like a souffle. And then the bottom was almost like a lemon curd. It was super easy. I think I made it when I did the peanut broccoli business because that's all cooks in the oven. So once I put that in, I mixed up all the lemon, took dinner out, put the baked lemon pudding in the oven where it cooked while we were eating, and then it was ready to go. So that was super convenient. Delightful lemon flavor, very light. It said to serve it warm, which I did, and it was great. And then we still had about half of it left, so I stuck it in the fridge, and it was fine the next day. Fine. It was delicious the next day as well. So I enjoyed that one very much. And then did you want to do yours before I do my restaurant review?
So we have been doing variations on a taco theme for our savories. That is just what we need to be doing right now. But yesterday, I stress-baked myself matcha Twinkies. I have been wanting to make these for some time. The recipe is from a site called littlefatboy.com, and its title is The Matcha and Strawberry Cream Twunkie. And yesterday, I met with my exercise group, and our fearless leader had just gotten back from Japan. And he was telling me about all of the matcha options in Japan, and that is what prompted me to just go home and make I didn't make the Twinkies, to be honest, because I don't have a Twinkie mold, nor do I need one in my life. You can make these in a cupcake pan. The matcha cake is based on rice flour, and I don't know if I bought the right one. It calls for mochiko, which is a glutinous rice flour. I just bought rice flour, like a stone ground rice flour. The cake was a little bit dense, but I don't care. I love it because I love matcha without reservation. I also added 2 tablespoons extra matcha because I love matcha, period. I think that the cake part was awesome and I could eat that alone. But then I made the cream, and it's a strawberry cream, and it's not just strawberry whipped cream. It has mascarpone, maple syrup, a little bit of miso, some apple cider vinegar. This strawberry whipped cream has such depth of flavor that you just want to eat that alone. It's pretty great. And my matcha-averse family agrees, so I know that I'm onto something here. I would like to figure out how to make that cake a little loftier. And again, I don't know if it was if I bought the wrong flour, or if I didn't cream the wet ingredients enough. It did call for like 4 whole eggs. I could maybe like back off a couple of the yolks and whip the egg white. It calls for whole milk, ricotta cheese, a lot of it, like a whole cup. So maybe that added to the density of it. But this is not a huge problem. Like, the whole thing is pretty delicious. I will make these again. They're a favorite. And that's really it for the cooking, baking part of my life. But I'm very excited to hear about your adventure last weekend.
When we've gone to Stitches the past 2 years, we've gone to delicious fancy restaurants in Sacramento. And so we decided to do that again this year. Our plan was to do an East Bay yarn crawl to hit all the stores over in the Berkeley, Oakland area. And so then we were trying to think what restaurant we should go to. No shortage of options. And what occurred to me was Chez Panisse, because it's classic. I haven't been there in something like 25 years. Courtney had never been. My other friend that was coming had never been. And they've both lived here for a very long time. So obviously this needed to be
remedied.
That's the word I'm looking for.
And I couldn't go.
Oh, so sad. We will just have to go back.
Yeah.
Totally worth it. So classic California cuisine. Been there forever. It's still amazing.
I do have the cookbook.
Maybe we go.
Maybe I should cook something from it.
There you go.
Okay. Tell me everything.
It was delicious. Beautiful space. I guess arts and crafts kind of building. Upstairs is the cafe, and it's not the full tasting menu. I'm not quite sure what goes on up there. It's very small. There were not a lot of spaces. We had a lovely table downstairs. You can kind of see the kitchen. Very beautiful. So it is a 4-course tasting menu, very seasonal. They release the menu for each night for the upcoming week. So every Saturday, I guess, they release it. So you can see what you're going to get in advance. And so when I checked the menu when it came out, I was very excited. It was just amazing. So we started off with an aperitif. I think it was some sort of lime cordial that she had made and put into Prosecco. So that was lovely. And then we had a little mini bite of like a little toast with some sort of cream cheese business and a little caviar or egg roll. It was just a little tiny taste to kind of go with the aperitif. And then, so the first course was a warm, I'm just reading from the menu because I can't remember anything on my own anymore. A warm asparagus salad with mustard vinaigrette, Cesare's prosciutto, and mash. And it was warm, which was kind of interesting.
Ooh.
But delicious. I mean, the salad part, the rest of the greens, the other greens were not warm, obviously, but it was very nice. yeah, I haven't had a lot of asparagus yet. Still early enough in the season that I am not burnt out on it. So it was just perfect. It was like still a little bit firm, but easy to eat. Just lovely. And with the vinaigrette, so tasty and looked beautiful. And I did take pictures, but they were not quite right. I need to play around with them some more. Next was a Dungeness crab pasta with preserved Meyer lemon, ginger, and coriander.
Yum.
Again, so good. Yeah, our crab season was late getting started, so that was nice that we did still get to have that. And that's something I don't cook a lot at home, so that was nice to have someone prepare it for me. And again, also delicious. And the flavors, crab and pasta and lemon, obviously, I think I would expect that, but the ginger and the coriander just made you go, this is a little different. Thumbs up on that as well. And then for the main course, grilled full belly farm lamb rack and loin with béarnaise sauce, sautéed spinach, roasted baby carrots, and gaufrette potatoes. All delicious. I do love a béarnaise. Like, I would just eat a bowl of béarnaise. Honestly, I would have been happy, but the rest of it was.
With a pound of asparagus.
Yeah, that would have been good too. But the vegetables were delicious. I'm not even a huge carrot fan. They were great. The potatoes were so crispy. They were like waffle chips, basically, but
yeah,
fancier and extra delicious. Lamb, lovely.
You would have had my portion of lamb.
Yeah. Well, I think they will do vegetarian, and you can show up and be like, no, I want vegetarian. I don't know if you could do partial, but I feel like...
You know, when
they would have made it
when
work.
Served lamb, I try a bite and then I pass it to the lamb lover at the table.
But I feel like if you're going to go to Chez Panisse, you should be able to eat your main course.
Yeah.
And it was not a ton. It was like one slice of loin and one. It was very
modest.
Yeah, it was perfect amount. Well, for me, I suppose. If you were someone that liked to eat at the kitchen, you would be a little cranky and that chef definitely would have had words about how. I mean, I was perfectly full at the end of the meal. And then our dessert was a pistachio torte with wildflower honey ice cream and kumquats. Again, lovely contrasts, lovely torte, very delicious. Honey ice cream always reminds me, we did a dinner party for our school auction many years ago now, where three of us made dinner for a group of like six people. And one of the things we served was honey ice cream. And so I always love honey ice cream since then, and it always makes me think of that dinner, so it was a really nice memory to have again.
I love olive oil ice cream with a little honey on it. And that's what I always...
That would be delicious, too. Yeah.
When I see honey ice cream, that's what I think of, even though it's not.
Overall, it was just beautiful. I would say we weren't breaking any ground on, you know, new and inventive. I feel like where we went last year, they were trying to be super creative and push envelopes and like, what can we do and make it look funky? This was not that. But it was all just delicious and perfect. We were a little bit worried because it was only four courses. In the past couple of years, it's been like eight or nine. So how is this going to work? Yeah. The service was excellent. Just very calm. They gave us plenty of time to eat and then let us sit for a while and keep chatting. We had our beverages. They would check in, but we're not at all hovering or anything. It was lovely. It was just a great, great evening. And it's nice that they're still there. They're still doing great things. And because the menu does change daily, you could go back multiple times and it would be different every time. Yeah. If you're in the neighborhood, definitely check it out.
Lovely. I'm sad I missed it.
I'm sad you missed it too. All right. On the easel.
I am happily busy working on, it's now like quarter two, I think. I guess we've had an extension, if you will. My big secret project that I'm working on is going really well. It's more than halfway done, and I'm hoping at some point to get permission to share, and that's what's been going on the easel, and I wish I could share more.
Well, I had an adventure.
Yes.
An easily adventure, which was not officially part of the yarn crawl, but happened on the opening day. So I felt like it was. So I went to the opening reception for the Irving Penn exhibit at the DeYoung Museum here in the city. And that is happening through July 21st. so you have plenty of time to go see it. And also going on is Fashioning San Francisco, which is a century of fabulous clothing from San Francisco society people. And that's happening through August 11th. So both very, very fancy and delightful. And Irving Penn, which I didn't really know, but he was a photographer and he worked with Vogue for 60 years or something, since right after World War II. He's photographed everybody. So all sorts of high Sue fashion
Grafton.
Stuff.
Has he photographed Sue Grafton?
It feels very likely, entirely possible. There was a lot of writers and artists, movie stars. So they had lots of his portraits. He's mostly known for that. And then a lot of his other artworks. That was very cool. And then the fashion was pretty amazing as well.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, that was cool. It was nice because they encouraged glamorous attire as well. So that was fun. The one that we went to, they didn't specify. So it was all over the board. And this was still kind of, because it wasn't required.
Right.
But it was fun to see what people had
told
us.
Did you see some good outfits?
There were some good outfits. Nobody went, I think because it was the Irving Penn, nobody went full fashion icon, but there was some pretty fun stuff. And I enjoyed that very much. And then he's known for his very minimalist backdrops. And he had one where he basically put the people in a corner. And actually I saw a book, who was it by? Martha Graham, I think. There's a new biography of her coming out, the choreographer and dancer. There's a picture of her. The picture of her on the cover is in this corner that he had done a whole series of. It was like, I know who took that photo. So I felt very accomplished. But they had set up the corner and were taking pictures. So you could go in and do your own Irving Penn photo. They had someone taking it. You know, they threw it onto the iPad and you could send it to yourself. So
nobody
that was pretty
Martha in a corner.
It was pretty delightful. So that was a fun little evening as well. All right, people.
Okay.
On the needles.
Wait, do we need to, where's all your props? How are we going to do this?
Oh, do you want me to go get the bags and bags of yarn? Okay. So I'm not going to talk about my actual knitting because I haven't finished anything. No joke. I have two pairs of socks. They both just need like toes and I still haven't finished them. I don't know what's going on. The weather is still happening. I'm still working on a cardigan. It's just, I don't know what I've been doing. Yarn shopping, I guess, not knitting.
I can't wait.
All right, hold on.
Oh my gosh. Yay, this is going to be so much fun.
All right.
I wish we had, this is the only time I've ever wished that we were doing a YouTube video.
Well, all of them are posted on our Instagram. So if you want to see a certain one, they're all on there. I did all of my daily yarn hauls. They're not all in one big photo, but there's a couple of them. So there were 21 stores participating. This is the Bay Area yarn shop's response to there being no stitches. I think this year was just a kind of let's see what happens kind of year. And I went into it with kind of no plan. I don't need yarn, but I did want to support the stores. And I figured I'd see what would happen. And what I ended up deciding on, really in the first couple of stores, I was like, oh, I'm going to be looking for Bay Area yarn crawl colors. Like a lot of them will do a specific color for this event, colorway, or new to me yarns, you know, because these are all stores that I could get to. They're in my neighborhood. I'm not coming from far away to
right.
go to the, I can always.
They're all within like a 50 mile radius.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Within 2 hours, certainly. And those are the farthest out ones. Most of them are within half an hour, an hour. So I can always get back to them. So I wanted things that were new to me that maybe I wouldn't just order. I wouldn't say, oh, I need a sweater. Sweater's worth of something. I can get that. So it ended up being super, super fun. Well, A, because I just got myself out of the house, which I'm really bad at doing, and went to see all these stores. And a lot of them I had been to. But then there were some new to me stores, and that was really fun. And I got to talk to new people. So the first thing that I did was on the first morning, I went to Imagine It, which is where I usually go if I need yarn. That is here in the city. And Courtney's friend Sally, who you all have met, if you listened to 3 episodes ago, maybe, from January, she works there. And the reason I wanted to go there is because they had really cute themed tote bags. So there was a nice map of the bay with the stores all marked with stars. And all these cute little yarny creatures all over. It's very adorable.
And this is the official tote bag for the Bay Area Yarn Crawl, right? Like yes. Every shop had a handful or a dozen of these.
Yeah. So they all had them. There was also, you could get a plain one with just the outline. And so those came out before the event and people were embroidering on them and using fabric markers on them and making them very personalized. And I thought that sounded amazing. And I knew the chances of me actually making that happen were very slim. So I decided first day, I'm going to imagine it. I'm getting myself the full color bag. And there were not very many. There were still some midweek, but I don't know if there were any left the second weekend, maybe one or two in a couple of the farther out places. But it was definitely something to jump on. And then it was nice because you could throw all your yarn in there, keep it with you. People are like, oh, you're clearly here for the yarn crawl. So that was fun. And I got, oh no, I did get a cool yarn there.
I love this brand. I was just in Imagine It, and I'm obsessed with this texture. It looks like a shoelace, but it's super lightweight, lofty. I don't know what it's called. It's like a braided yarn
so what,
with mohair.
Sally was telling me is that it's like a tube, and they push the color fluffy bits into the tube, and it pokes out. And that's why it's so light and fluffy.
I love it.
And this is from Illimani, and I got the navy one. It's their Emily yarn. So I'm pretty excited about that. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it, but it seemed new and interesting, or new to me and interesting. So we went with that.
I want to do that. It's not the same brand of yarn, but similar tubular mm-hmm. yarn, that short sleeve like jacket thing from Andrea Mowry.
Oh, okay. So sounds like a plan.
It's high up on my list.
Nice. And then in the afternoon, I went over to A Verb for Keeping Warm in Berkeley. Are they in Berkeley or Oakland? I think Berkeley. Yeah. To do an indigo yarn dyeing class. So I got a blank skein of yarn and I got to dunk it in a vat of indigo and come home with my own skein of indigo dyed yarn. And that was also very fun because indigo dyeing is a huge pain, I think, to set it all up. And then what do you do with it? So it was really nice to not have to deal with anything and have someone tell you exactly what to do. When you signed up for the class, you chose one of three different yarns. And so everyone had a different yarn base, which was interesting because different yarns, and one of them had silk. So they all take the dye differently. A lot of people did kind of a gradient one. So when they knit it, they would get a more textured effect. Mine, I didn't quite think to do that until too late, but it was fine. So I'm pretty excited with how it turned out. It's a lovely
indigo blue.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I'm going to do with it at all. I have no idea, but I will figure something.
Pretty bulky weight, no?
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be a fingering weight, but it's very poofy. So I may be wrong about that. Maybe I did get a DK or something. So
you dunked it in the vat while you were there.
Yeah. So you put gloves on, first of all, so you don't dye your hands. You stick the yarn in there and then you leave it in for a while. You don't swirl it or anything because that messes up the indigo. And then you pull it out and it has to oxidize because it is actually a green when it's in the indigo. And then you pull it out and that's what makes it that blue. And then you can put it back in, take it out, repeat until it gets to the dark blue that you want, or light blue, or whatever it is. It was really interesting, though, because when we went back to Verb, I ended up getting another skein of yarn. Surprise, surprise. That was this beautiful green color. And as they were wrapping it up, they threw in an indigo dyed information card. And I said, oh, that's indigo. And they said, yes. And I did not ask further, why is it still green then? Because that's the color it is before it oxidizes. So I don't know how they do that, unless it's a different kind of indigo. I haven't quite investigated it because we were on our way out the door and had many other stores to get to. But that was very interesting. So that was really fun, a nice way to start it off. And I was glad they did that. There weren't a ton of classes. They definitely had some cool classes, but they usually do.
Did you take it home wet?
We rinsed it and put it in a washer and spun it to get more moisture out. So it was damp still. And then she gave us plastic bags to stick it in. And she said, you know, when you get home, take it out, hang it up and let it dry. So it's been down here drying.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because if you leave it in the bag, it gets moldy and that's not good for
anyone.
Anything. Yeah. So, yeah. So that was really fun. They also did the other one I wanted to take was they had sock blanks and you could color them with like flower prints, which would have been really cool. But I think that was on the Saturday when we were doing all our touring. And I'm very pleased with my yarn. So that was fun. So then the next day was the first Saturday and Kid had a track meet in the South Bay, conveniently one town over from a yarn store. He was supposed to do a couple of races. One of them got scratched. So I would have been down there all day. I could have hit two or three yarn stores, which would have been pretty fun. As it was, he only had one race, so he stayed at the track for a little bit, did some more training, and that was when I ran to the yarn store. So that was Uncommon Threads in Los Altos, which I had not been to, although we have been down there for soccer games and stuff before. Very nice, lovely little shop, very nice people. They had it all set up. You walk in, oh, are you here? This is where you get your bingo card stamped. Because I did my first time at Verb forget to get the bingo card stamped, which luckily I knew I was going back, so it was fine. But I was frustrated with myself about that because it's all about the bingo card, obviously. They at Uncommon Threads were having a pop-up from Playful Day Yarns, who is a local dyer up in Petaluma, I think. And I was not familiar with her, and she had these beautiful solid color skeins. So I got a nice single skein in a berry crush color, I think might be the colorway.
Boy, they feel great.
Yeah, it was just very lovely and beautiful, and I wanted it to come home with me.
Nice.
Is it just regular? Oh, was that the yak one?
It is. It's yak. It's 70% merino, 20% yak, 10% nylon for strength.
Yeah, so that was a little different. I, again, don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it's very pretty, and
it
I was excited.
It is a Monica color.
Yeah. I think I may actually have gotten a different yarn brand and picked out that exact same color as well. So apparently that is my color of the spring. So that was exciting. And then I took a couple days off because I had other things going on. And then we hit midweek, and I had some time. And so I did the yarn stores in the city that I had not been to because I'd already been to Imagine It. So I went to Atelier and Firebird and Lovefest Fibers, which I had not been to before. And that is a new one out here by me.
What?
I know. They're a very specific yarn shop. She works mostly with women in, I think, Nepal and Tibet, and does a lot of natural dyeing and crafting yarn from recycled materials and that kind of thing. So it's not like an Imagine It where you have a big project in mind and you go there and you can find whatever yarn you need. These are sort of specific, very high-end yarns, very beautiful. And she does classes. A lot of them seemed more, the yarns also seem more appropriate for weaving or macrame. She had some beautiful giant macrame pieces on her walls. So that was really cool. And there, that was where I got the second skein of that. I don't know, what color pink do we call this?
It's a berry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's the same. This one is cashmere though. So
it's so buttery.
Right. So that one I think will definitely be a cowl. It was nice. And then at Atelier, they had some Dream in Color in their store colorway that they've done that's specific for them. So I got that. And then they had a local dyer that they name all their yarns after neighborhoods in the city. So I had to get some of that, obviously. There was a colorway that I really liked called Sutro Baths. And that's one of our favorite little hiking areas in the city. And so I got some of that. I'll make socks for the husband. And it's all blues and greens.
This is completely Sutro Bath.
Right.
I love it.
They had a lot of really good colorways and it was hard to choose. And I eventually just went, all right, I'm going with the name that I like best.
Well done.
Firebird had two pop-ups. I got yarn from each of those. One is an Australian dyer who I guess has never had her yarn in available. Like, you could order it to come here, but has not had it in a store in the U.S. So that was new. And that was Woolen Works. So I got some beautiful blue, green, purple yarn for me, mostly blue.
This is loud.
It is very loud. It's very Firebird. And then Super Glow Fiber, which was new to me as well, even louder, but in pinks and oranges. And that is
so fun, right? Monica.
Yeah. So
I'm so sad that I missed this.
That's why. Well, you wouldn't have gone to that one anyway.
Why?
You weren't going in the middle of the week, were you?
I would have.
We'll see. Anyway, so that was super fun. And yeah, so those were new to me and things I would not generally buy. But I do.
This is totally dopamine colors. They're just like really alive.
Very happy. Yeah. Very cheerful. So then the next day, I went south again. I did Fengari, which is in Half Moon Bay. And
I love that little shop in town.
Royal Bee in Pacifica, which is where those are the two stores we went to on our little yarn excursion 2 years ago, year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun to go back to those. I also went and had delicious fish and chips by the ocean. Fabulous. I'd not been to the Barbara's Fish Trap in a very long time because gluten and meat. So can't go with the husband, but I went by myself and sat there and looked at the ocean. It was a lovely little lunch break. And it was the last day before the rains came back. So that was just extra lovely. Fengari was having a local pop-up. Local sheep. Did I get more pink? Oh my gosh. Okay, it's a lighter pink.
It matches your sweater that you're wearing.
It does. And then I actually got two. I got a gray that I think might just be natural, and then a pink. And I think the pink has silk in it. And otherwise, they're both Cormo.
Cormo is a specific type of sheep.
Yes.
And it's more like a little rustic feel. I like it.
Yeah, so I think my plan for those two is probably a hat or a cowl, do some color work. As I said, the pink one has some silk in it, but they're both a sport weight, so I think it'll work out fine.
This one is very soft.
And I think it'll be a nice, sort of mellow. It's not going to be a super contrasty color work, but I think it'll be nice. Maybe a geometric or, I don't know, I haven't quite figured out that, but that is the current plan for that. And then Royal B was having several pop-ups, so it was hard to decide, but I went with the dyer that I had not bought anything from before, Silver Pennies.
Ooh.
And she just had this beautiful dark blue, what's it called?
Sapphire Sadness.
Yeah. Which is lovely. And then she had mini skeins of a little Bay Area yarn crawl color, so.
Sea Storm, and it's kind of the blue gray version of Sutro.
Yep. So I think what I want to do is a pair of socks, and then I'll use the mini for cuffs and toes probably. And since it's a solid blue, I can do a patterning, like a textured sock with pattern, and show that off. So
it's beautiful.
That should be fun.
Yeah. And that's a cute bag. What's that one?
This was the bag from A Verb for Keeping Warm. I got there. They had a Bay Area yarn crawl bundle, which I picked up. So you got the bag, you got some Cho chocolate, some wildflower seeds, a pencil, and of course some yarn.
Cute.
In a colorway, in a Bay Area yarn crawl colorway.
Ooh.
Plus, they added a little mini skein, and there is a pattern that was designed to go with the yarn crawl colorway, and it has a little tiny contrasting bit. And so we got to pick, there were like six different colors that we could choose from and for our little tiny mini skein. So I know what I'm doing with this because there is a pattern that goes with it. We did have to buy that separately, so anybody can buy that as well. And it'll just make a nice little scarflet. I'm excited. And the yarn that I chose for that is a new yarn base for Verb, Nibble. It's local sheep. So I'm pretty excited about that as well, to try that out.
Verb for Keeping Warm never disappoints.
No.
They really don't. Oh my gosh.
So then after that, the rains came back, although I did a pretty good job of staying in between them. I went north the next day. I think that was Friday. And I went to Knit House on Main, which is in Tiburon, Atelier Marin, and Dharma Trading Company. And those are both in San Rafael. And I realized they're very near to a high school where my kid plays soccer against them. And so I was very sad that I only just realized it now that his soccer season is over, because I could have been hanging out at a yarn store before the soccer games. But oh well. And now I know it's there and it's not too far. And so what did I get there? Tiburon is so fun. I always forget that it's a little bit tricky to get to. It's farther away than you think it is, but it's beautiful. Adorable little yarn store. Oh, that's where I got the Japanese yarn. I think they're the only store, or what they thought was they were the only store in the U.S. that sells this yarn.
Oh, boy.
Linen, cotton, some other things. A lot of people were buying it from them, so they were out of a lot of colors, but they did have...
Wow.
Teal. Beautiful teal. So I got enough of that to do like a summer top. So I think that will be super fun, and I'm trying to figure out what pattern I want to do with that, because it is, you know, summer top season.
It is reminiscent of Noro.
Yeah.
A little bit. The cone.
Yes.
Is part of it, but...
But this is just a solid...
Great texture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful color.
So that'll I'm looking forward to. And then I think maybe I got stitch markers at the other stores.
That's okay.
Unless I have put all my yarn away. And then it was the big day. And I was like, oh, I'm totally done buying yarn. I'm not going to buy any more yarn. Yeah, not so much. Also, I was with my friend Telly, and we are both completely useless at not enabling each other. We knit differently. We knit different things. So it's not, we just feel like obviously the other person should buy whatever they want, because then it's like we're buying it because we can see it, but we haven't spent the money. So if either of us remotely glances in the direction of a skein of yarn, the other one will be like, oh yes, you absolutely need that. So it was a delightful, fun day. We started off at Verb. We had our whole route planned out. I was looking, and we had to add in a couple extra because there's a new yarn store that opened. So they were not officially part of the crawl, but they were there and they were nearby. So we hit 6 yarn stores.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Plus,
I was going to drag them to Stone Mountain and Daughter to
look. There would have been no dragging needed. We would have happily have gone. Because they have buttons, right?
They have buttons. Yeah.
And Telly sews as well. So yeah. It would have been a bonus of delight. We started off at Verb. I bought more yarn. I was not going to buy yarn because I'd already been there. I bought the yarn crawl yarn. I have my indigo dyed yarn.
Yeah, but in order to get the bingo stamp.
Well, oh no, because none of them, you did not have to purchase anything.
Okay.
You just had to show up and be like, here, stamp my card. But we got there. That was why we went there first, because they were having a designer showcase. There were like 6 designers there. And we got there a little bit late, so we were right at the end. But the designers were still hanging out. One of them was wearing a knit top, a t-shirt top. And so I asked her what it was, and we were talking about it. And it was her design, of course. And so then I was thinking, oh, that could be pretty fun. And then I was just wandering around, and I found the really pretty green indigo yarn.
Ooh.
And it's a single. And she had said she had done a couple different versions of this t-shirt, and one of them she had held 2 yarns together. And I thought, oh, okay. So there's this silk mohair from La Bien-Aimée that I've been eyeing for a while. It's blue-green.
I guess they are Oakland. It says Oakland.
Oh, yeah, I think they're in that borderland. Yeah. So I found this beautiful indigo green single and this silk mohair. It was just enough to make the t-shirt, so I had to buy it.
Yes.
This blue green right here.
These
so we'll see. So I'm definitely going to swatch and make sure it is. You may notice there's a lot of blue green going on in my. So I think that'll be pretty cute. I have to swatch and make sure it looks like I'm envisioning it to look.
This is like mermaid scales.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Then we went next door and had cupcakes. They had regular size cupcakes and mini cupcakes. So we each got mini cupcakes because then you could get 2 and taste them. And they had like 3 different gluten-free vegan ones. So I grabbed one for my husband and took that home to him. Because like the first day I went yarn shopping, he's like, oh, that's cute. have fun. And on day three, his expression was a little bit like, you're going again? I don't think he fully understood the crawling.
The commitment.
The commitment. It's my job, honey. I have to go yarn shopping. The people want to know. And so then next we went to Piedmont Yarns in Piedmont, which is right next to Oakland. Actually, I think it's in the middle of Oakland. This is one I had not been. Very cute. On a cute little street. I have no idea if this is going to work, but they had a bunch of this bubble yarn, and you can make scrubbies for dishes.
I was going to say, I couldn't wear that. That would make me crazy.
No, it's for scrubbing dishes. And they had it in all these like bright, fun neon colors. I went with the metallic gold. So I don't know if it's actually going to work, but it was like $5 for a skein of it. So we'll test it out. I don't know. It's one of those things that it just seems like it wouldn't actually work. But, you know.
It has that OKO text label on it, which is... It's a sustainability label for fabric. So this is really cool.
Oh, great.
I'm on board with this.
Awesome. Yeah, they had lots of colors. I just decided to go with the gold. I can always get more if I find that it actually works.
Fascinating.
Yeah, right? And they had a bunch of little samples. They had one that was a star, and one was just a circle, and one was, I don't know. They were very cute. That will be a fun little quick project at some point. Then we scooted over to Alameda to Coven of Stitches, which is the new one that just opened. It opened, I think, the first weekend of the crawl. And so this was only its second weekend. Adorable little shop. So many new to us yarns. Some that we had, I think, it wasn't size. There were a couple of yarns that we knew that they are already. But a lot of new ones. Very bright. Lots of neons. A couple of basic. I think they had like Regia sock yarn, which is great, but in all the fun striping colorways. They had a stitch marker bar and lots of, you know, notions and stuff. So picking a yarn to bring home from there was pretty difficult, I will say. There were several of taking it off. This is what I'm definitely taking. No, I'm putting it back. This was one place where Telly and I were kind of like, ooh, I might be interested in that one. No, that one might come home with me. And we worked it out. It was fine. Ooh. So I ended up with Ryan yarn, hand-dyed in Athens, Georgia. Just a ghost at most. Pinks, purples, speckles, or magenta, I should say. And some pink, purple. Very bright, cheerful colors.
That is very fun.
And back to my traditional pink, purple, as opposed to the blue, green that I had mostly been going with. So yeah, so I'm excited. And Alameda is a fun little town as well. I'm excited that they have that now. Next up was Black Squirrel, which I have ordered from, but I've never been to their in-person shop. So that was exciting. Packed, packed shop. Most of the stores, when I went, were very busy. Even during the week, there were always people in them, which was great.
Do you feel like other people were doing like you did? You know?
Oh, for sure. There were a lot of people that were definitely trying to get a blackout. Or at least, you know, hitting a bunch of them. I think especially at Berkeley, there were so many. Or Berkeley, Oakland, that East Bay contingent, there's so many you could hit in an afternoon,
right,
as we did. So that was really nice. But then, yeah, there were a lot of people. Oh, that was the other thing. At the Coven of Stitches, I met listener Marilyn, hello, who introduced herself, which was so fun. And she came from the Sacramento area. So people definitely were coming in to the area to check things out.
You're famous.
I don't know if I'm famous, but
I
get to meet people now, so that was delightful.
That's so special, though.
Yes.
You know.
It was great. So Black Squirrel, they had a fun thing. So for their prize package, they had a list of things that were you could choose from. It was like 10 items that they were going to be giving away, and you could go around and see them, and you got to pick which three you wanted, which they haven't called me about winning yet. Which is, I don't know what they're taking so long for, but probably because I didn't win. But there were many delightful things. I was like, oh, this is really cute. For example, this very cute strawberry
tote bag.
Project bag. This one, this is produce, I think. Produce bags. Oh my gosh. Adorable. They had pickle ones and various strawberries, all sorts of fruits. They had one that looked like an apple. It's an adorable, probably like a sock project bag, maybe a little bit bigger. Oh my gosh. Strawberry print fabric with some denim, a red handle. red and white stripes on the inside. There's pockets on the inside. I'm so excited about this bag.
It is so adorable.
I also got a skein of yarn from Casey Knits in the Oil Slick colorway. I had seen this on Instagram and wanted it. It's all the colors of an oil slick, which sounds weird, but is really quite beautiful. So kind of blues and greens and purples, you know, all the things I love. You may have heard me mention those colors once or twice. So I'm very excited about that.
That is beautiful. It's kind of like a warmer purple.
Yeah, kind of. There's a little some yellowy, greeny going in on there. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And then we went to Avenue Yarns in Albany, which was right there. And again, hadn't been there. Again, lovely. They had all these great shop samples. Lots of photos were taken because there were some things that I want to knit later. I got some really cute stitch markers there. It was a very large pack of little flower-shaped ones, which I think will be great for shawl knitting when you have a lot of repeats, or even sweaters sometimes too. Just anything where you have a lot of repeats. I like them to match. I don't always have enough to make it match fully. So I think now I will. That was a really nice one. And then we realized we needed to go to the New Imaginet. We had not put it on our list because they weren't official. I think the same thing. They opened a little late. They weren't officially on the crawl list. But we wanted to go see the new shop. So we drove there and we got to see Sally again. And it's a beautiful new store. Huge, nice classroom space as well. So that was really fun. I did not get yarn there, but Telly did. She got this beautiful, actually kind of like this color pink. So I'm excited to see what she ends up knitting with that. And then we went to our dinner and we avoided getting rained on again, which was amazing. Right as we were going into dinner, we got a little bit rained on. But other than that, very good. It was a delightful, delightful day. And then I was busy the final day, so I did not get any more stores in.
That's a mountain of stores, though.
It was Bravo. So fun. It was so fun. I had no idea what to expect. I think it'll be interesting to see what I feel like next year. And will I want to be going around again as much and what they will come up with? The one thing that I felt was missing was the social aspect of being at Stitches, where people just get together and hang out in the hotel bars or, you know, as you're going around the market floor, you see people that you know. Or, you know, just it felt a little bit easier to chat because you're all in one confined space and you don't have to get in your car and drive to the next yarn store. So it would be nice if they could figure out maybe like opening night receptions or receptions on different nights. So everybody goes to different places.
Or maybe a podcast could do like a couple hour little knit along somewhere and take over a coffee shop.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely ways to make it happen. And certainly as I went to the stores, there were groups of people traveling together or sitting there having knit nights, you know, the things that they usually have. But yeah, I got to figure how to make that work. And I guess the stores were having their regular knit nights and I did not get myself over to any of them. So there's that as well. So I do actually need to participate if I want them to have those things. But so I'm not sure what the answer is there. And I didn't make it to all the stores. I didn't make it to some of the ones, the more outlying ones. And I would like to get to them. So if they have it next year, I will have some stores to go to still. And you didn't get to go. So you need to come.
Absolutely.
And then there's always new yarn.
We can fold in Stone Mountain and Daughter and maybe an art store.
Yep. Absolutely.
I like to be well-rounded.
All of the crafts for sure.
Thank you for sharing Yarn Mountain with me.
Oh my gosh, I don't need to buy any more yarn. Although, to be fair, then yesterday my yarn for my my striping gnome arrived, and it is adorable. Oh my gosh, it's so cute. I'm very excited about that, and that starts April 18th. So,
well, most of these are smaller project yarns.
Yeah. No, so. I stayed away. There was some yarn that I had heard of that I wanted to get a sweater's quantity worth, but I said, you know what? I know where it is now. I have plenty of sweaters that I have yarn for at home that I need to knit, that I want to knit, that I'm working on or want to work on. So if it comes time to knit that sweater, then I know where the yarn is. I stepped away from, well, no, but I got the t-shirt amount of yarn. So I have a couple of bigger projects. Yeah. But I'm good for a while. Lots of dreaming of things and plotting and planning. So very exciting.
Well done. Way to support our local yarn economy.
That's what it's all about. That is it. I'm glad. It sounded like it was going well for the vendors, the stores, which is good. And people seem to be having fun, which is what it's all about. So I think that's it for us. Until next time, make sure to do something you love every day.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Show notes can be found at craftcookreadrepeat.podbean.com. You can find us on Instagram as craftcookreadrepeat or CourtneySF, that's CourtneySF. On Ravelry, I'm Magdon, MAGDON. And if you have any questions or comments, email us at craftcookreadrepeat@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.